This podcast is part of the Self Defense Radio Network.
Hi, this is Derek from Atlanta. Unlike Bob, I am a former law enforcement officer, but I still enjoy listening to a practical show by a practical guy. You're listening to the Handgun World Podcast.
Hello everyone, I'm Bob Main. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. Welcome to another episode of the Handgun World Podcast, episode 425 to be exact. This episode I'm going to be talking about what I like about the Glock 43 and also some home defense tips. I'm going to be responding to some emails, one in particular that I got from a listener. So let's get started with that. This segment, I'm in the mobile studio on a business trip. So I need you to do me a favor. Before I start with the next subject matter, I need some help from you, the listener. I just put a post out on Facebook not too long ago that I put up my statistics page that I often look at about once a month. The Handgun World Podcast has had 4.7 million downloads. 4.7 million. Wow, folks. It's so humbling every time I open up my statistics and look at it. It's somewhere on average of about 6,000 to 7,000 per episode. An average. The best episode was about 14,000 downloads, or actually maybe closer to 15,000 downloads. I don't understand it, folks. I'm just me. I don't know why people just love to listen to some Yankee dude like me that's just an ordinary guy, living in a gun-friendly state, talking about one of my great passions, and that is firearms and concealed carry and things like that. But as I've always said, as long as people keep listening and as long as it's still fun for me, I'll keep doing it, and it's still fun. So I need to get to 5 million downloads. See what you can do to help me out. See what you can do about maybe listening to some old shows, but that's cheating. Why don't you just spread the word of my show to friends and family and just, pick one of my episodes that you thought was good or you think that they need to hear the subject matter and send them a quick email, send them a Facebook message or a Twitter message or whatever, text message and say, hey, check this out. It's just an everyday guy's approach to guns, and you might get something out of it. One of my fans put on the Facebook page, on my Facebook page, Handgun World Podcast, he asked me, what do you think is going to come first, episode 500 or 5 million downloads? And that's a good question. That's a good question. I got another, over 200,000 downloads left to go, so I don't know. I can tell you this. I'm going to take a break when we get to episode 450. Whenever I get there, I'm going to take some time off from doing the show. Please don't think I'm going to quit the show. Not going to do that. But I'm going to take some time off. I thought what I was going to do is take a little bit of a break and change this to a once every 2 weeks podcast. But I've had so much to say lately and things to talk about. I want to get it out there. So I'm back to putting out a show every week. I like to release my podcasts every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. Every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, so you can check your feeds. That's 9 a.m. Central Time. So wherever you get this podcast, whether it's iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, whatever kind of podcast program that you listen and find this show, Sunday mornings at 9 Central Time is when you can usually find it. But help me out. Help me out. I'd like to get to 5 million downloads before episode 500. I really would. I'm going to check the stats about once every 3 or 4 weeks and see where I'm at. But if you could help me do that, I'd appreciate it. That'd be really cool of you. Okay, I want to talk about why I like my Glock 43. I'm not a Glock fanboy, folks. I'm not a Glock fanboy. I have Smith & Wesson pistols. I have Sig Sauer pistols. Carr Arms pistols. I got a Ruger pistol. So I'll trust my life to anything that I own. Because I test my stuff. You know, Ben Branham just did a podcast recently on the Modern Self-Protection podcast about testing everything. You should test everything. I have tested all my guns. And I'm satisfied with all of them. Matter of fact, if I'm not satisfied with them, I don't keep them. So that's maybe a philosophy you might want to think about. You got something that doesn't work or doesn't work for you, get rid of it. Use that money towards something that does work for you, or some more ammo that works for you, and then just perfect your craft. Get good with what you have. Train with it. Have I talked about training a couple times on this podcast? I guess I have. I'm starting my 9th year, folks. I started this show in August of 2009, so I have completed 8 full years of doing the Handgun World podcast, and so beginning my 9th year. Feels good. Feels good. Never in 1,000 years did I ever think that I would do this for 8 years and be almost at 5 million downloads. It just, whatever. I still, sometimes when I look at the podcast statistics, I wonder if that's real, but I know it is. Anyway, why I like my Glock 43. I got off track. Several reasons. Now, a couple of months ago, I said that both my Glock 43 and my M&P Shield are my two favorite single stacks that I own, and I think they are the two best single stack firearms, single stack 9mm ultra concealable guns that you can buy for several different reasons. I'll talk about the Shield on next week's podcast. I've talked about it before, but there's some other things about the Shield I want to talk about. But on this week, I want to talk about the Glock 43. Let me first start with my disappointments on the Glock 43. And I know this segment is about why I like it, but there are some disappointments that I want to talk about. And I'll start off with the capacity. I think it was a massive mistake for Glock to come out with this pistol with only 6-round magazines, and so you've only got a 7-round gun. That was just a colossal mistake, I think. First of all, you know, they handed a lot of business to the aftermarket manufacturers of extended magazine base plates. So, and of course the sights. As with every Glock pistol, the sights are hideous. So, let me tell you about what I've done to remedy those two issues. I have Pierce Plus One magazine base plates and also pinky extensions on my Glock 43 magazines, on two of them. So that turns it into a 7-round mag, and I've had no problems. I didn't have to change the magazine spring. I just get a Pierce Plus One mag extension, and I'm good to go. Terran Tactical, I think, was the first one to come out with them. Suarez International has them, too. Take your pick. They're all good. But I happen to like the Pierce because I like the shape of it, and I like the way that it catches my pinky and gives the pinky on my shooting hand a chance to rest and rest comfortably, and it's textured so I can get a good grip on it. And I don't like the Plus 2 mag extensions for Glock 43 mags. I just, you know, once you start to put that big of a magazine extension on it, you're starting to, in my opinion, take away from one of the strong points of the gun, and that's its concealability. Same with my Glock 42. Plus one or plus two on that gun, because That gun's, you know, it's smaller than the Glock 43, so you can get away with putting a plus two extension, but then you got a 380 pistol. But we're going to talk about, I'll talk about more about my Glock 42 again, but we're going to talk about the Glock 43. That's what I'm trying to stick with here. So that was one remedy. The other remedy is, when I was at a gun show, and I was talking to Chris from Citadel Armory, and we were talking about my Glock 43, and I still had the crappy Glock sights on it. And he encouraged me to try out some Ameriglow Hackathon sights. He said it's a real good package for the Glock 43. Seems to fit it pretty well. Have you heard of those? I had not heard of those until Chris brought them up. This was at the Saxit Gun Show in San Antonio, Texas. First weekend of every month in San Antonio. Big gun show. So I ordered some. And I got an orange front sight. It's cool. It's got the orange outline. It's tritium. Only the front is tritium. The rear is just a plain black serrated black sight. And that's I really like that combination. These sights are very similar to the Trigicon HDs. They don't cost as much, and they're a little more low profile. Now, they're not quite as easy or not quite as conducive to one-hand manipulations as the Trigicon HD sights, which is why I like those so much. But it's good enough. It's got enough of a ledge in the rear sight for me to be able to, you know, rack the slide and clear malfunctions one-handed with this G43. I've done it many times in training classes, and also while I was teaching students how to do the same. So those are my two remedies. Now, some other things that I really like about this gun. It is so amazingly concealable. And it's got the familiar Glock trigger for me. I'm very much used to a Glock trigger. Some people are not. And you know what? Glock triggers don't work for everybody. If they don't work for you, that's fine. It does not have any finger grooves on it, which I like. I don't really have much of a problem with the finger grooves on any Glock pistol that I've shot. But it's nice not having them. And the texture is like their fourth generation texture. So it's not overly aggressive, but it's good enough to let you get a good grip on the gun. You know, how many of you have ever picked up a gun that's got a way over aggressive texture? Sometimes it's not much fun to shoot, especially if you go to a weekend class and you shoot 700 or 800 rounds with a gun that is tearing up your hand because of the over aggressive grip texture. It's not much fun. Now you might say, well, that's not going to matter in a self-defense situation, Bob, because I'm not going to shoot 800 rounds in self-defense. And boy, I hope you do not have to shoot 800 rounds in self-defense. I hope you don't even have to shoot 8 rounds in self-defense. But it's a good idea to have at least that many. Now, it used to be my cutoff for a preferred concealed carry pistol was a 9-round gun. That was, in other words, I did not want to go below 9 rounds. Unless it was a deep concealment pocket gun that I was sliding into a pocket holster because I'm wearing dress clothes. This Glock 43 is the only one I make an exception for that, or exception to that rule. At least me. That's a Bob Main rule, okay? And that is, I like the 7-round mags now with the plus one extension, which means it's an 8-round gun. With my M&P Shield, I only carry 8-round mags in that gun. For me, I have seen no difference in concealability between 7 and 8-round mags for that M&P Shield, but a huge difference in shootability. No difference in concealability, a huge difference in shootability. Same with the Glock 43. I do not use the 6-round flush-fitting magazine. I don't use that. Matter of fact, I took that base plate off, put a Pierce plus one grip extension on there. Because again, I do not like shooting my Glock 43 without having a place for my pinky to rest because it just recoils way too much. Now, the recoil is not unmanageable, but it's too much for me if I don't have the pinky extension. Quite a bit different with a Glock 26. I mean, with a Glock 26, that's got enough grip girth, especially a fourth generation Glock 26 with the nice texture and the grip girth. I got no problem shooting that pistol without a magazine extension. No problem. But when I go down to these little single stack 9mm that do recoil more, I like to have the ability to get all of my fingers on that gun. So only extended magazines for this G43, but it's highly concealable. Right now I'm carrying it in a Cobra outside the waistband holster by Concealment Solutions. Hey, that's the other thing, is that these little guns, they're great for carrying outside the waistband, and the heat index here in San Antonio is over 100 degrees right now. You know, I'm this segment I'm recording on the 1st of August, and the weather just sucks, folks, right now in South Texas. It just sucks. I mean, we've had temperatures like of 101, 102. Temperature, actual air temperature of 101 or 102. You know, that means our heat index, when you add in the humidity and all that, it's like about 107 or 108. So I really, in this kind of weather, do not like carrying inside the waistband. I don't mind it so much in the cooler weather, but it's these Cobra outside the waistband Kydex holsters that Jason makes at Concealment Solutions, they're so comfortable and so concealable. And of course I'm wearing a Hawaiian style shirt that keeps me cool. But it doesn't matter what my shirt is with a Glock 43, it hides under anything. That's what I like about it. I mean, it just conceals under anything. And by the way, I think I've seen these guns now priced down to $489.95 if you shop around. $499 maybe. You know, when they first came out, they were too expensive. When they first came out, Sparks Firearms in San Antonio wanted to know if I wanted to buy one for like over $600. I said, no, thank you. I can wait until I get a better deal than $600. So I did. I waited. And I think I got it for $519, but you can buy it for less than that now. So the concealability of it is just absolutely superb. I'll tell you, I never thought I would say this, but the Glock 43 has replaced my Car PM9. Yeah, it did. It replaced my Car PM9, folks. And let me tell you why. First of all, I think the Car Arms PM9 is a fantastic handgun. If you have one, don't get rid of it. Don't think it's a bad gun. I like the Glock trigger better than the double action trigger on a car. Now, excuse me. Let me get a drink of water here. Take a quick break. Okay, that's better. Car Arms pistols have, I think, the best double action triggers of any semi-automatic handgun that I've ever shot. But I'm so used to the Glock trigger that the Glock 43 just felt a lot more natural and easier for me. And I can conceal the Glock 43 every bit as good as I could conceal the Car PM9. Now, I can't pocket carry the G43. Some people do. I don't. I could pocket carry the Car PM9 a lot better. So that's the only advantage, but it wasn't worth it, because if I'm going to pocket carry, it's most likely going to be one of the two 380 pistols that I have. Either my Car P380 or my Ruger LCP2 380. Because those are a lot more, at least for what I do. You know, as you guys know, I'm in sales and I wear a lot of dress pants, khaki slacks. You know, in the wintertime, I sometimes will put a sport coat on and things like that, and I'll get away with belt carrying, but not often. And I'm usually, you know, I have to wear tucked in shirts a lot in the sales job that I do. So, you know, because of the clientele that I call on. Sometimes, depending on who I'm going to see, I would look pretty tacky in an untucked shirt. So I have to tuck in. So I'll slide a 380 in my pocket and an extra magazine in a DeSantis mag packer pocket carry for an extra mag. Those are great. DeSantis mag packers. Hey, you can get those on my Amazon store, by the way. Please remember to use my Amazon store when you make your Amazon purchases. You don't have to spend any extra money, and you can support this podcast, support what I do, by just simply making your Amazon purchases by going to handgunworld.com first, go to the Amazon store second, and then make your purchase. So that's what I'll do for pocket guns. So really, it's replaced my car PM9, and it's, like I said, they're both fantastic guns, but hey, that's what I, don't you love that about the firearms industry these days? There's so many good guns to choose from to fit the needs of the shooter and whatever your lifestyle it is, whatever your lifestyle is and whatever skill level you have, whatever your needs are, how much you want to carry, how much you want to compete with it, train with it, whatever. There is a firearm out there for you. I mean, the choices are just absolutely endless today, and it's great. I think it's awesome. I just, you know, I'm a little deficient in my firearms ownership. I am. I'm a little deficient, you know. I'm just not quite up to par because I don't own a SIG P320. And I guess everybody now needs a SIG P320, huh? I mean, it's like it's all you hear about these days is the SIG, the magical SIG P320. They're advertised everywhere. Everybody's got to have it, got to have it. Hey, folks, again, and no offense to anybody that owns a SIG 320. If the 320 works for you, it works for you. By all means, buy it, carry it, shoot it, compete with it, whatever you want to do with it. It doesn't do much for me. I've shot them a lot. A lot. So, anyway, I had to throw that in there. But again, please don't hate me. Don't send me hate mail. Get mad at me because I'm not trashing a SIG 320, the P320. Just doesn't work for me, folks. I can think of a better gun, like a Smith & Wesson M&P 2.0. Yeah, I want one of those. I want an M&P 2.0. And you know what I really want? I really want a Shield 2.0 when it comes out. I know it's coming. It's got to come. If they've got the full-size M&P 2.0, they're going to come out with the Shield M&P 2.0. I mean, why do you think that this summer Smith & Wesson got rid of all those Shields at such a cheap price with those healthy rebates? Right? Clearing out inventory for the 2.0 that is coming. It's going to come. I will eat my shorts if they don't come out with an M&P 2.0. That was a bad visual image there, wasn't it? you wouldn't want to see that. Why did I say that? I can't take that back now. Well, I guess I could edit that, but I'm not going to edit that part. I'm going to leave it in there. I would just be extremely surprised if Smith & Wesson does not come out with a Shield 2.0. And I'm going to own one when they do. Maybe not right away, because I'm not the biggest fan of buying something right when it first comes out. At least waiting 5 or 6 months is more practical for me. Anyway, I like to do that. But, you know, it's still 2017. I made a promise. No new guns in 2017. No new guns in 2017. Ben Branham wanted to know if I wanted to go to the gun show with him next weekend. And I said yes, but I'm not going to sell anything. And I'm not going to buy anything. I'm just going to go to the gun show. And if I can get a good deal on some ammo or a good deal on some magazines or whatever, I'll probably buy some of those. But no new guns this year for Bob Main, because Bob Main needs to spend his money and his time on training and become a better shooter. Because the last time I went competition shooting, I sucked. I'm disappointed with myself. Got to get better at that. And there's still plenty of time this year to get better at that. Now, I've been thinking about some pretty cool plans for 2018. And I'm going to start talking about them next month in September. Some cool plans for 2018 that I want to tell you about that I'm real excited about doing. But I'm going to say nothing until sometime in September when I can confirm and for sure tell you about them. So that's it for this segment. Quick break, and I'll be right back.
Hey, gang, this is Masad Ayoub from the Pro Arms Podcast. I'm here to remind you that our podcast is a member of the Self-Defense Radio Network, and I'm going to suggest you do what we do and check out the other podcasts at selfdefenseradio.net.
A woman is approximately 10 times more likely to be successfully raped when she doesn't have a gun, according to a Department of Justice study. This explains why women in the United States use firearms about 200,000 times a year to stop sexual assaults. It also explains why more than 40% of women own or already have access to a firearm. So why do some politicians want to disarm women? Maybe rape isn't a serious enough crime in their minds. Or maybe they don't want to stare down the wrong end of your barrel.
Arm yourself with facts to strip the gun control industry bare. Visit gunfacts.info and get your free copy of Gun Facts. Called Indispensable by Cam Edwards of NRA News, Gun Facts is your rapid reference guide to debunking gun control myths and shaming politicians into obedience. www.gunfacts.info.
Okay, back for segment number two, still in the handgun world, Mobile Studio. I want to talk about a listener email that I received from a guy named Justin. And Justin, this was a good one. Thank you for sending this to me. So your email is going to be the topic of the second segment of this episode. Justin said he just started listening to me about a year ago. And he finds my topics interesting and thanks me for inspiring critical thought. And I like to do that, folks. I like to inspire you to start thinking critically about what you do in life, not just handguns. I mean, we have a common interest, you and I, who listen to this show. You, the listener, me, the podcaster, we have common interests. And that one big common interest that seems to bind us together are guns. And even more specifically, handguns. Although I do like to talk about rifles and shotguns. And in fact, I'm going to talk a little bit about those here in this segment. Justin wants to know about home defense. He says, I'm reaching out to you about home defense. He says, and by the way, I've got my phone up on a windshield mount here, and I'm just kind of glancing at this while I'm cruising on the interstate. I do this safely, folks. I know how to do this safely. Please don't worry. He says, when he talks about home defense, almost every person immediately thinks of something like an alarm system or a gun. But he says, not everybody, unfortunately, has an alarm system. And as for a gun, people who buy a gun for personal or home defense do not always practice and train with it. Boy, isn't that the truth. Justin, you nailed that point perfectly. So he says he knows the importance that of training, and that and he hears that that's a consistent message coming from you and other people in the gun world, but the matter of fact is that some people just don't do it. Yeah, Carl Wren did a great presentation at the Rangemaster Tactical Conference that I attended back in March. Carl Wren, the owner of KR Training up in the Austin area, he did an excellent presentation. And basically, his determination was that 1%. It's 1% of the people that own guns that actually do anything in terms of training. Isn't that sad? 99% of the people that own a firearm never get any formal training. And I want to say this without offending people. Your dad or your uncle or grandfather, who used to serve in the military for years, taking you out into the back 40 and teaching you how to shoot, that's not formal training. As much as you love your dad or love your grandfather or your uncle or whatever, I understand you love them, and you know what? I love mine too. They are not your formal training source. As a matter of fact, I strongly recommend that you do not get any formal firearms training from friends or family. I'll say that again. I don't care who they are. I do not recommend that you get your formal defensive firearms training from anybody who is a family or a friend. There are certain biases and dynamics that take place there that I think will leave you short and lacking a little bit in the training that you get. Plus, you know, there's personality conflicts that usually happen and often happen when it comes to learning anything from friends and family. Find a good quality instructor. If Ben Branham and I are coming to your area or even close to you within a few hours, come to one of our classes or find another trainer that is close to you that you're impressed with or that you have heard good things about. Go take the class from somebody else and take more than one class. You'll be happy that you did. Okay, so back to Justin's question. So the primary question that he asks here is that he says he wants to know what to do about personal and home defense. Narrowly focusing on a situation where a bad guy is breaking into your house and you haven't or don't train with your gun. What advice can you share? That's what he's asking. Now, he also adds his own thoughts. Is that you know your home better than anyone else, and so you can use that to your advantage. So he wants to know what kind of equipment have I used, and what about discreetly hiding weapons throughout the house and things like that. I am not going to say that I am the world's home defense expert. Now, I've been in the home security business for many years. I'm not in that now. But for over 15 years, I was in the home security business, and it didn't even involve firearms. I worked for a manufacturer that made all kinds of technology to secure homes and businesses. And I used to do a lot of advising homeowners and business owners on how to more properly secure their property. One thing Justin says in this email, which is absolutely correct, you know your home better than anybody else, or you should. Take some time, and I used to cover this a little bit when I was doing today's survival show. Take some time to really, really get to know the home or the apartment or wherever it is that you live. And get to know the areas of vulnerability. You know, most bad guys are going to take the path of least resistance. Not all of them, but most of them. Get to know those areas of vulnerability. I'm okay with putting different weapons in different parts of your house, strategically placed to where they're easy to get to. I mean get to quickly. Now, you have to be aware of children. If you have young children that live with you or young children that come to see you often, you know, you have to take safety precautions so that they don't get their hands on those weapons. And even if they're not guns, if they're other types of weapons that can cause damage, hey, the kids are going to find them. Don't think that you can hide weapons from children. If they're weapons that are not secured, I don't care if you're hiding things that even are not firearms. If they're not secured, a child is going to find them. But if that is not an issue, if you don't have any children, figure out where the vulnerabilities are. And, you know, I don't want to speak too much about what I do, because this is a public podcast. This is going out to the world. I don't want the whole world to know exactly how I defend myself and my home, for obvious reasons. But I'll make strong suggestions. I'm a firm believer in two things, not necessarily in this order, but I'm a big firm believer in two things, maybe three, that are necessary to secure your home. The first thing I want to talk about is a good home alarm system. Well worth the investment. today, with today's technology, you can pay like a few hundred dollars for a wireless home security system and, you know, something like a ridiculously low $12 or $13 a month for the monitoring service. And that is one layer of protection. It's not the end-all be-all, but it is one layer. And you can self-install these things in like, you know, an hour and a half. Much different from the days in the late 80s and all throughout the 90s and early 2000s when I was selling these. It was I sold a lot more older technology that was more difficult to install and the prices were higher. Even if you get one of those door cameras, one of those intercom door cameras that's an intercom and a camera all in one, and you can look at it through your iPhone or any smartphone. So even if you're away from the house and someone comes up, you know, a lot of people who want to burglarize your house, a lot of them are going to try to knock or ring the doorbell first because they want to see if you're home or not, and they'd prefer that you not be home. Somebody pushes the button on that doorbell, all of a sudden the camera comes on and it alerts your iPhone or your smartphone, whatever kind of a smartphone device that you carry, and you can see them and talk to them as if you're home. Or if there's somebody there that are not welcome, you can tell them to leave no matter where you are. You could be on vacation somewhere and you could talk to them through your smartphone and say, leave my premises or I'll be calling the police soon. If you have that, a good alarm system, that's huge, folks. That's huge. And if you have an alarm system, by the way, arm it at night. Every good alarm system has a home mode or a stay mode or a night mode. And it'll let you know if somebody is coming in your house. All it is an early warning system, in my opinion. All it is an early warning system. You know, statistics show that most homes that have an alarm system, most of the times, bad guys leave them alone. But you know what? Bad guys are getting a lot more bad these days. And a lot of them don't care. A lot of them just want to come in and they just want to kill you. And they just want to take what they can take. And they just want to take advantage of whoever they can take advantage, which is why you have to have a good firearm. And it has to be readily available. And you need to know how to use it. You need to know the weak points of your house. Where is it most likely that a bad guy would come into your home? I know I might be talking about some scary stuff. For kids that are listening to this, I'm sorry if this is scary. You don't have to listen to this, what I'm about to talk about right now. If you don't want to listen to it, you don't have to. Or maybe your parents might not want you to listen to what I'm about to say here shortly. But bad guys, especially if they're drugged out and they're trying to get their next fix and they need to get something, they will do anything. They'll hurt whoever they have to hurt, kill whoever they have to kill to get what they need. I'm sorry, but it's the truth. That's the society we live in. You know, a few weeks ago I did a podcast, you know, saying that we all have to accept this society that we live in. We have to. You know, sticking your head in the sand and not accepting it and making believe like it's not going to happen to you is extremely dangerous, folks. I think you're really playing with some serious fire if that's what your thought pattern is. Know the weak areas in your house where someone might be able to get in quickly. Know how to defend those areas. Have you ever tried to shoot in a hallway? Have you ever tried to shoot through a window? Have you ever tried to shoot around a door? Have you ever taken any classes in this kind of stuff? Find a class that teaches basic home defense with a firearm. Even if you take an NRA course. You can take NRA courses, which I believe are called home defense or home defense with a firearm, whatever name they give it. Take one of those classes. You know, Justin says, well, people don't get training. That's a shame. A lot of people really have a false sense of security. They have a gun in the house, maybe more than one. They have guns in the house and think that they're safe. They're safe because of the presence of a gun. Well, you know how we try to fight the argument that anti-gunners use? And we try to fight the argument, you know, they say guns are dangerous. That's what anti-gunners say. Guns are dangerous and don't belong in the hands of private citizens who are untrained. And what do we say? We say, well, they're not dangerous because guns don't fire themselves. It takes an evil person that commits an evil act with a gun, and it takes somebody to pull the trigger, you know, to make that gun fire. Guns don't just come out of the safe, or they don't come out of a drawer, or they don't come out of a person's holster all by themselves and shoot somebody. And that is true. That's the argument. In fact, that's the truth. That's a pro-gun argument, but it's also the truth. All right, so think about that. The presence of guns in your home, that's not going to automatically defend you, because the guns are not going to automatically do the job for you. Just as we say, just as, you know, that's a call that I don't need to take. All right, just as we say to the anti-gunners that the guns are not going to by themselves hurt somebody, the same argument can be used that the guns by themselves are not going to defend you. Would you agree? They're not going to defend you all by themselves. You have to make the conscious act to retrieve your gun and be able to use it effectively. And if you're not trained on how to do that, and you have not practiced that, it may not work out well for you. Now, there are plenty of stories out there. There are plenty of defensive gun use stories of homeowners that did prevail. And we don't always know all the details, whether the person had some training or didn't have some training. Sometimes just the sheer will to fight back will also stop the aggression that's being perpetrated against you. You know, sometimes just the fact that you're willing to fight back, that you have a gun and you are willing to use it. But I wouldn't leave it just to that if I were you. But even if you're not going to get the training to properly defend your house, at least have the mental wherewithal to say to yourself and accept the fact that, you know what? I am going to do this. I am going to retrieve my gun and shoot somebody if they make it past my alarm system or past my doorbell camera and break into my home. That's the big part of defense right there, is being mentally ready and mentally prepared to do it. My good friend Ben Branham at the Modern Self-Protection Podcast likes to say, your mind is the weapon, train it well. Guns are just tools. Your mind is the weapon, train it well. First time I heard Ben say that, I said, yeah, that's right. That is exactly right. So train your mind, because that's going to be the weapon. Okay, the other few tips I want to talk about in home defense. And, you know, by the way, for those of you who are Shooters Club members, there's an audio podcast on the Shooters Club that Ben Branham and I did a few years ago. And we really elaborate in great detail on this segment that I'm talking about, home defense. Ben and I got together and talked about it. It's nearly an hour long. So if you're a member of the Shooters Club, that's some exclusive content that you can listen to. And if you are one of our members and you haven't listened to that episode in a while, go back and listen to that. You have to click on the audio members page at shootersclubmembers.com. And of course, if you're not a Shooters Club member, what are you waiting for? For $8 a month or $75 a year? Go to handgunworld.com, click the Shooters Club page, and you'll be able to see all about it and know how to sign up. So a few other things here that I want to talk about regarding home defense. You need to make sure that your home or your apartment or condo, wherever you live, is a harder target than most. And what I mean by that is make it far less desirable. And make it seem like a much harder target to attack. I'll give you an example. As much as you possibly can, if you live like in a single family home, as much as you possibly can, always leave a car or always leave a vehicle parked in the driveway when you leave. Now, if you only own one vehicle, obviously you can't do it. But if you own more than one vehicle, leave a vehicle parked in the driveway. Because that basically says, hey, someone might be home. And that's a deterrent right there. Bad guys, you know, unless it's their absolute intent to bust into your home and break in, if it's a home invasion by a team of hardened criminals, well, then they don't care if somebody's home or not. But if it's somebody that just wants to break into your house and take stuff, making it seem like somebody is home is one of the best things that you can do. At night, leave all your outside lights on. Lighted areas deter bad guys. Or at least they deter petty burglars and petty thieves. If you have a fence that fences in your property, that is a huge deterrent. Make sure it's in good shape. Make sure you take care of it. And make sure it's the type of fence that would create a reasonable deterrent. A 4-foot fence is not going to deter somebody as much as a taller fence. Now, I know that fencing can be ugly, but some of you listening to this might live in the country, and you might have some good fencing. Some of you may only have some decorative fencing, where it's just there to make your property look good. That's not going to do much for home defense, but don't let it deteriorate either, because when there's no cars in the driveway, when all the lights are off, when the grass is long and the fence is deteriorating, what does that say? It says nobody cares about the property. Maybe nobody's home. Maybe it's abandoned. Maybe somebody is gone for a long time. If you're going to leave for a long time, I know I might be getting off into a subject that maybe Justin didn't know that I was going to talk about here, but if you're going to leave, you're going to go on an extended vacation and people are not going to be home, make it look like people are going to be home. Leave your lights on and a car in the driveway. Okay, so what if you leave your lights on for 2 weeks? Who cares? Change the light bulbs when you get home. If you have an old car, put the old car or the old vehicle in the driveway. Obviously, keep the newer one in the garage, whatever. Okay, trash cans. If you live in suburbia like I do, don't leave trash cans out there. If you have to have your neighbors come and bring in the trash cans and the newspapers, don't leave those out there. That's another tip off that you're not home or that no one's paying attention to the property. Do not put signs out that say this home is protected by Smith & Wesson. That's stupid. There's a house in my neighborhood where I live in San Antonio, and they've got that sign out there. And, or I don't know if it says protected by Smith & Wesson or protected or whatever by whatever, and they got a picture of a revolver on the sign. And that's not necessary. First of all, that tells criminals that you have guns in the house. So that can actually bait a criminal into trying to wait until just the right time to break into your house and steal your guns if they can. May also kind of bait them into the thinking that you have other valuables in the house that you're trying to protect. So they want to break in and get those too. So you might think that kind of stuff's a deterrent. It's not. Now, a sign in your front and backyard advertising that you have an alarm system, I think that's a good thing. I think that's a very good thing. It's been proven that that's somewhat of a deterrent. It's not, it's not foolproof. Everything I'm telling you is not foolproof. Even having a gun and knowing how to use it, not foolproof. Now, what I'm saying here might be begging the question from some of you. What kind of gun, Bob? What kind of gun? What kind of gun should we have for home defense? I can't tell you that because I don't know what you're good at shooting. Well, I don't know what your budget is. Just have something. Have something and know how to use it. I prefer handguns. My go-to home defense handgun is a Glock 34 that I have in a quick access safe 1 foot from my bed. So when I'm sleeping, when you break into my house, my alarm system's going to let me know. And that's going to give me advance warning to get my Glock 34. My Glock 34 9mm. That's going to prompt me to get that out of my quick access safe. And if you're a bad guy coming into my house, you and I are going to do battle. And that's going to be what I'm equipped with. Now, and a good flashlight. I got a really, really, really good flashlight that sits on top of the dresser right next to where my quick access gun safe is. So I'm grabbing my G34 and my flashlight. Now, you need to think about what it is, how you can set something like that up. If a shotgun is your preferred method, that's fine. It better be a shotgun that's small enough for you to handle well, and it better be a shotgun that you've practiced to use. If an AR-15 or an AR or AK style pistol, if that's your home defense setup, that's fine too. You better know how to use it, and just remember, those things are loud. Woo! Boy, they are loud. Inside of a building, inside of a structure. Go inside of a structure. Go inside of a building and fire an AR pistol or an AK pistol. See how loud it is. Some people say, well, if you have that, you should have some ear protection near your bed. Yeah, that's a good idea, but that takes time, folks. It takes time. That's an extra, what, half a second or 1 second that it's going to take for you to, you know, grab your ear protection, put that on first, and then get your AR pistol or even your AR-15. I mean, time is your enemy, really. You need to understand you can't waste time in any kind of a gunfight. You can't waste time. And every half a second or quarter second that you waste is bad for you. So think about all this stuff. Have a plan. That's the main thing that I can say here about Justin's email, which is a really good one. Have a plan. I misunderstood what Dave from Utah said about something that Michael Bain said about, you know, index cards. Have you? I misunderstood that. I had never really heard Michael Bain say that, and I thought that, you know, he was talking about having index cards that you actually pull out and figure out what you have to do when you have a bad guy. Okay, silly me, stupid me. Hey, sometimes I don't get things, folks. Sometimes I make mistakes. I'm never afraid to admit that. And so what Dave was talking about, what Michael Bain talks about, is index cards in your mind, in your brain. In other words, have you rehearsed this? Do you have a plan? Is it something that you have practiced and strategized over and over and over again? That's the mind that is your weapon, like Ben says. So if somebody were going to ask me for advice on a home defense gun, unless you live in a really big house, I'm going to have advise them to just have a good quality handgun that they can shoot well and that they've practiced shooting well and that they've trained with. That's what I'm going to recommend, because handguns are so much more maneuverable, so much easier, especially if you're in tight quarters. And it's very doable to have a handgun in one hand and a flashlight in the other. I've practiced that many times. If you come to a night class that Ben and I teach, yeah, that just kind of reminds me. We need to schedule a night class sometime this winter. We like to do it in the winter in San Antonio because The winters in San Antonio are wonderful. The temperature is great. And it gets dark early, so we can do a lot of shooting at night and practice using our flashlights and shooting at the same time. Several different ways to do that. But if there's any night shooting classes near you, you need to check out your local competition shooting clubs, IDPA or USPSA. Many of them put on night shoots, nighttime matches. I've done several of those. You know, it's also very likely that it could be quite dark in your home when somebody decides to invade your home and hurt you or a member of your family. So that's the other thing. Do you know how to use your handgun at night? Just because you throw a set of night sights on your handgun doesn't mean you're good to go. Have you practiced shooting with those night sights? Have you practiced, you know, some defensive combat type shooting inside of a structure with those night sights? Do you know what those night sights do when you turn your flashlight on? That was something that was one of the biggest eye-opening experiences and takeaways that I had the first time that I shot a nighttime competition match and took a night shooting class. When you turn a flashlight on, whether it's a weapon-mounted light or a handheld flashlight, makes your night sights look a whole lot different. So think about that. Night sights are not the end-all, be-all. I know that manufacturers like to market them that way. But a lot of that's a lot of sales hype, folks. You need to make sure that you test everything. Justin, I hope this gives you some practical advice, and I hope that the listeners listening to this get some practical advice. If you have some questions or comments, feel free to send me an email, bob@handgunworld.com, or call in a voicemail, 210-646-1727, 210-646-1727, and I'll put you on the Handgun World podcast and answer your question. I love getting emails like that. Well, with all that said, folks, thanks for listening to another episode of the Handgun World podcast. I'm just an everyday guy talking about everyday self-defense. Just remember something, folks. Evil does not exist in the holster. It exists in the hearts of men and women. Shoot straight, shoot safe. And I'll talk to you next time. Goodbye.